We all try to do the right thing, don't we? You know, you're standing in the grocery store, you see that package, it says compostable right there, and you think, great, you know, I'm making a green choice, doing my bit. It feels so simple, straightforward, almost obvious. But what if that choice, that seemingly good intention, is actually, well, a lot more complex, maybe even counterintuitive when you dig into it? Today, we're going to peel back the layers on compostable plastics. So our mission for this deep dive, like always, is to give you a real shortcut to being properly informed. We've pulled together a whole stack of sources, articles, research papers, industry reports, even some court rulings, and we're going to try and pull out the most important bits of knowledge for you. Today, it's really about looking at something that sounds good, sounds green, but the reality, well, it's got a few more shades of gray.
Yeah, and I think what's really striking here is that this isn't about pointing fingers or blaming anyone. It's more about understanding the science behind it and the systems, the infrastructure that's involved or often not involved. It's just so important to look past the labels, the marketing buzzwords, and really get into the actual life cycle, what really happens to these materials, especially with sustainability claims. This dive might challenge a few common ideas.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. When we hear compostable plastic, most of us have a certain picture in mind. You mentioned a survey earlier.
Yeah, that 2019 Grocer magazine one.
Right. It found consumers generally think plant-based compostable plastics are the most eco-friendly packaging. And it sounds amazing, doesn't it? Plant-based, compostable, I mean, what could be better? That promise is exactly why so many companies jumped on board trying to offer something genuinely greener.
Exactly. But here's where the perception kind of diverges from the technical side. Compostable plastic, according to the official standards, you know, like ASTM D6V400 or the European EN13432, these standards actually require it to break down rapidly into CO2 gas, carbon dioxide.
CO2,
not
oil,
not soil.
not primarily into beneficial compost material that improves soil structure or nutrient content. It's mainly becoming CO2, which means, well, it's contributing directly to greenhouse gases. That's probably not what people imagine.
Okay, wait. That's quite different. And this next bit really made me stop and think. Most of us, when we hear compostable, we think, okay, it breaks down, you know, anywhere, nature. But the tests, the certifications, they're only for biodegradation in a very specific place, right? An industrial composting facility.
Exactly.
So it's not designed to just break down naturally if it ends up in, say, your garden heap, or worse, just gets littered in a field or ends up in the ocean. That's right. It needs those specific, controlled, often high temperature conditions found in industrial plants, not the ambient environment. And that immediately raises a big question, doesn't it? If
Yeah.
it needs these special facilities, how does it actually help tackle the huge problem of plastic waste just escaping into the environment, into nature? There was even a Danish court case back in November 2019, Elopot versus Sungrow.
Oh, yeah.
The court actually ruled that some compostable PLA plant pots couldn't legally be called biodegradable in a general sense, precisely because they only break down under those specific industrial conditions. It's a critical distinction.
Wow. So connecting those dots, what's the bigger picture here? If they depends on industrial facilities, and we know plastic waste often doesn't make it to the right facility, it just ends up out there, are these compostable plastics really tackling the main issue?
Well, that's the crux of it. And there are other practical hurdles too. Often, these materials are significantly more expensive than conventional plastics, making them less viable for, you know, widespread everyday use. And critically, as you touched on, there just aren't that many industrial composting facilities globally that can actually handle them properly. It's far from a universal solution. In fact, German courts in a 2014 case, Gutthof versus Deutsche Umwelthilfe, ruled it was deceptive to even market plastic as compostable, partly because of that lack of available facilities for consumers.
And the issues don't just start at the end of life or with the lack of facilities. The whole green narrative starts to look a bit shaky earlier on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
At the production stage, they're often sold as renewable because they might come from plants. But that ignores all the fossil fuels burned in the farming process, right? The tractors, the fertilizers, transport, then making the plastic itself.
Absolutely. The energy input is significant, and it raises a huge point about resource allocation. Growing the crops for these bio-based plastics takes up a lot of land and water that potentially could be growing food instead. The European Academy's Science Advisory Council, ESEC, put out a report in March 2020 get this.
Yeah.
They calculated that replacing just polyethylene, PE, with a bio-based version would need almost all 93.5% of the entire global wheat production.
93, sorry, did you say 93.5% of global wheat?
That's what the report stated.
That's staggering. I mean, yeah. You immediately think about food security. Are we essentially proposing trading food crops for packaging? That just sounds completely unworkable on a large scale.
It highlights the scale issue, definitely. And another thing that's often, let's say, not highlighted in the marketing, even these bio-based plastics can contain a substantial amount of oil-based material, sometimes up to 60%.
Really? 60% oil-based, even if it's called bio-based?
It can be, yes. The definitions allow for that.
Okay, let's dig into another layer here, because not all these plastics are the same. I saw a reference to a 2003 report for the Australian government by Nolan ITU. It made an interesting point, suggesting that some types, like biodegradable plastics based on polyolefins, that's your common plastic, like PE or PP, could potentially add some nutritive value to compost.
Yes, that's an important distinction. Some specific types might contribute differently. However, that same report drew a contrast with what are called hydrobiodegradable polyesters, things like the starch-based plastics, the PLAs, which are often the ones labeled compostable. For those, the report noted that pretty much all the carbon in the plastic ends up as CO2 gas during industrial composting.
Ah, back to the CO2 again.
Exactly. So it contributes to greenhouse gases, but adds essentially zero value to the compost quality itself. Unlike, say, natural wood waste or leaves, lignocellulosic stuff, which breaks down slowly and builds humus, retaining carbon in the soil.
And the potential downsides keep coming. There was a report in the journal Waste Management in July 2020. It sounded pretty concerning. It found that even industrial composting doesn't always completely get rid of film fragments, so the compost itself can end up spreading these little bits of plastic.
That's a critical finding. Those fragments then break down further into microplastics right there in the soil where the compost is used.
Microplastics from compostable plastic.
Yes. And even more worryingly, that study suggested these compostable microplastics could actually encourage the growth of certain fungi, aflatoxigenic fungi.
And those are the ones that can produce toxins.
They can produce aflatoxins, yes. It's a potential kind of hidden health concern. And beyond all that, from a purely functional perspective, these resins often just aren't as good as conventional plastics. They can be weaker, more sensitive to water, let more oxygen and moisture through, things you generally don't want in packaging.
Okay, so let's recap. They're often expensive. They need special facilities that mostly don't exist. The production has a footprint that might not even improve the soil and could create microplastics and even fungal issues. So what do the people who actually run the composting facilities, the industrial composters and local councils, what do they think? You'd imagine they'd be keen, right?
Well, this is perhaps the biggest irony. Overwhelmingly, industrial composters and local authorities seem to be rejecting them. They're saying, no thanks, honestly. Take Epsom and Ewell Borough Council in the UK. They shared their experience. They found that regular plastic bags used for food waste caddies could just be pulled out and sent for energy recovery incineration. But the bioliners they initially asked residents to use. They composted too slowly, got tangled in the machinery, gummed everything up, and made the whole process way more expensive.
So the bioliners were actually worse for their system?
In their experience, yes. They found conventional plastic bags, managed separately, were more cost-effective for their specific setup.
And you said this isn't just a one-off?
Not at all. We've seen similar stories from the city of Exeter, also in the UK, the city of Toronto in Canada. Industrial composters in Oregon, I think it was January 2020, actually listed 9 specific reasons why they didn't want compostable plastics in their intake. 9 reasons.
9 reasons. Wow.
Yeah. And then you have major waste management companies like SUEZ reporting issues. There have even been quite damning TV investigations in places like the Netherlands and Canada. Both basically found that huge amounts of compostable plastic weren't actually being composted. They were just ending up in landfill or being incinerated anyway.
So the whole promise falls apart if the infrastructure isn't there or isn't willing.
Exactly. And some governments are even explicitly deciding not to build that infrastructure. The Welsh government, for instance, decided against investing in the necessary industrial composting plants, meaning even if people use these plastics, they often just go to landfill.
Okay, so industrial composting seems fraught with problems. What about doing it at home? Home composting, that sounds like a neat solution, right? Bypasses the need for big facilities. But is it viable?
Well, first off, from a purely practical standpoint, you know, buying a special, often expensive, compostable plastic bag just to put your kitchen scraps in for home composting, when you could just use a simple bucket or container. It seems a bit, well, unnecessary, doesn't it? But more importantly, trying to compost these certified compostable plastics at home is generally considered actually quite dangerous and really shouldn't be encouraged.
Dangerous? Why dangerous? I thought it was supposed to be safe and natural.
Well, a study done for the French government looked into this. Proper composting, the kind that effectively breaks things down and kills potential pathogens from food waste, needs really specific management. We're talking about turning the heap weekly for the first month, then less often, carefully controlling moisture levels, and crucially, maintaining a pretty high average temperature around 25 degrees Celsius, plus or minus 5 degrees for the first 3 months.
Okay, that sounds quite demanding for a typical backyard setup.
It's highly unlikely most individuals can consistently hit all those marks. It requires real diligence in the right conditions.
So even if you try your best at home?
Even if you follow good general composting practices, that French study found that the plastic bags themselves were still poorly disintegrated and biodegraded. You can end up with tiny fragments, microscopic or even millimeter-sized pieces of plastic, still visible in the compost even after a whole year.
Still plastic, just smaller.
Pretty much. And remember the CO2 point. The breakdown of these bags, even when it happens, contributes very little, if anything, to forming humus, that rich, stable organic matter that's actually good for your soil. At least 90% of the carbon just becomes CO2 gas.
So no real soil benefit?
Not in terms of building soil structure or long-term carbon storage. And then there's the pathogen risk. If your home compost pile doesn't get hot enough for long enough, which is quite common, it might not kill off harmful bacteria or pathogens from the food waste you put in there. That's a genuine health concern if you then use that compost on, say, vegetable patches.
Right. Okay. So, pulling all this together, what does this mean for you, our listener? We started this deep dive thinking about trying to do the right thing, choosing that compostable option. But what we've uncovered from all these sources is that compostable plastic is, well, it's just a much more complicated beast than the name suggests. It has really significant implications for how we should think about waste, about resources, and what truly counts as an environmental solution.
Mm-mm. I think this deep dive really underscores how vital critical thinking is when we're faced with these seemingly simple green-sounding options. It really pushes us to look beyond the marketing slogan, doesn't it? To understand the entire life cycle, what infrastructure is actually needed, what the real environmental footprint is.
Yeah, and what the sources seem to show is that the problem isn't always just about the material itself, what it's made of. It's often about whether the systems, the processes, the infrastructure are actually in place to handle it correctly. And sometimes, maybe surprisingly, the older ways or simpler approaches might actually be more effective in the real world than some of these newer, shinier alternatives.
Which really leaves us with a big question to chew on, doesn't it? If these compostable plastics often don't get composted, if they're expensive, if they can even add to microplastic problems and use up valuable resources, then what are the truly effective, scalable alternatives we should be focusing on to tackle plastic waste and move towards a genuinely more sustainable future? It forces us to think systemically, not just about the object in our hand, but the whole complex web it exists within.